This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network. Greetings.
Greetings and welcome to Sound the Shofar with the Watchman and Tower. Here is a clue to tonight's study. Hebrews, Revelation of His Son, Part 4, Perfection. The foundation has already been laid. Now the apostle moves his readers towards perfection, reminding them of the detrimental warnings of failure. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Friday, the 15th day of June, 2018, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and this is Warn Radio, bringing you the truth of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. The readings in the Word this week are found in Numbers, chapter 16, verse 1, through chapter 18, verse 32, 1 Samuel 11, verse 14 through chapter 12, verse 22. And the New Testament portion is Luke chapter 19, starting at verse 1 through chapter 20, verse 47. You can go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, or gethealthyyoungliving.com to read the latest articles by The Watchman and listen to the shows. The featured posts this week are American Vipers Destroying the Souls of Men, The Tongue is a Fire, a Word of Iniquity, James 3:6, Bill Maher's Hoping for an Economic Crush to Oust Trump's, So He Says Bring on the Recession, Alec Baldwin also is in the fray of idiocy and now believes Trump is using the North Korean summit as a cover to fire Mueller. Check out Provocative and Passionate Incognito. Unheard of. Provocative and Passionate. Get the book that addresses the war on identity and deceit that is going out. Check out Incognito now. It is the latest of the books which have come forth. Certainly not a novice, and with a proven and reliable voice, the author, Dana Glenn Smith, takes you into Incognito. It is a war of identity and one of deceit. The book reveals a ruthless, corrupt, and evil struggle to deceive you today. While this will certainly lead to the Armageddon's Holocaust, this looming peril can also find you prepared. Through the Glass Darkly, Hope and the Transformation. Seeing through the glass darkly, I shall see all things face to face. Hope and the transformation from mere human that faces sin, death, and the grave, then to have the ultimate victory over the same sin, death, and the grave through Jesus Christ. Yes, it is the victory. For us, the ultimate victory who have believed in Christ. So go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, or Get Healthy Young Living to listen to the shows and read the latest articles by The Watchman. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/warnradio. And also on Twitter at #WatchmanIS216, #WarnRadio, or #WGS_Watchman. And now I welcome in the Watchman for Sound the Shofar and Part 4 of Hebrews, Revelation of His Son, Perfection. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good.
Well, we're here on another Friday night again.
Yeah, I'm glad we could be here tonight.
And well into summer.
It's already the middle of June. Can you believe it?
And time never stops. Just keeps plugging on.
Well, that's the truth.
And, you know, a lot of stuff in the news with Trump and North Korea. And the same anti-Trump stuff is going on. Although, for months now, they haven't been rioting on the streets the way they were.
Well, that's good.
Well, you know, as well as I do, they were rioting on the streets.
Yeah, I know.
They were, and that was stuff pushed by Soros' group, among others. And Pelosi did come out and said that, I'm surprised we don't have whatever it is, overthrows going on all over the country, you know, uprisings, she said.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, she's... Well, wasn't it a Dem that's called for her oust?
Yeah.
To be ousted?
Yeah, after she said that.
Yeah, good.
Well, you know, there's a lot of... quite a number of Dems that are telling the Dems to shut up. Because... You know, people don't want to hear this. Even Democrats don't want to hear Democrats do what they're doing. I know I don't want to hear them do that. I mean, it's like they're insane. Somebody let out the asylum and it was full of Democrats. Now they're all out there screaming and hollering. And Jim Carrey, I seen his latest idiot cartoon. Man, I'll tell you, Jim Carrey just went over the end.
You know, I wonder about these stars sometimes if they didn't make a deal with the devil. And then they end up going over the deep side.
Well, you know, Carrey is crazy. He was on Netflix, you know, quite a long time ago. I don't know, year and a half ago he first came on there. And I seen a few outtakes of him on there. He was just like, he was crazy. Let's just put it that way. He's nuts. I mean, just
too
nuts.
Bad.
He is. And now that he spends all of his time writing and drawing cartoons hating Trump, I mean, that you know, that gets a little old.
It does. How come you want to poison yourself with that garbage?
And I mean,
why do you want to be like that?
They don't know how to be any different, you know. I did read a thing about Robin Williams by his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he had that brain disease. I forgot what it was.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
And she said that he literally went nuts. Trying to remember how to be funny. She said he couldn't remember how to be funny.
That's sad.
And he couldn't remember that. And that really got to him. And I didn't read the whole thing, but, you know, that's got to be terrible.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was looking at some other... things online, and I was on Amazon, and they were showing some of the series that they had, and they had an old series, this one that Bourdain was in, that he is in 5 seasons. They had season 1 they were offering. And you know, I'm not interested in watching Bourdain, but you know, another has-been star. You know, I mean, somehow he figured it would be better off to be dead than it would be to be alive and continue living. You know, I don't know. There's this, you know, with some people that there's a love of death. That there is an attraction for death.
That's terrible.
Well, it is for, you know, you and I that want to live. But for people that find life, although he had everything, you know, go figure. You know, maybe it'd have been better off if he hadn't had everything. I mean, it's hard to say.
Oh, I know.
He almost killed himself on drugs. He does have a brother. Nothing out of his brother, but I seen a show with him and his brother and everything, and they're following up on their Jewish roots. But you know, you wonder, you know, because you can see the Robin Williams, you can see a lot of these, and they're pressed into a corner, and you know, in part of their life they've overcome, and then they meet something that they can't overcome, so they decide to do themselves in. I mean, it's suicide. Of course, they said it's a national epidemic, but
yeah,
you know, they're, you know, and this is the way this works. The devil can get in there, and then your own flesh is weak. Remember, your mind and your body and your mind, and not your spirit. Your spirit is redeemed through Christ. If it's not redeemed, it's in darkness. But there's that place that as a Christian you can renew your mind, you can find help. But without that hope and trying to follow all these other things, you try to fill a space that God reserved for him. And nothing will satisfy.
Nope, not a thing.
And somewhere along the line, you know, they begin to be convinced by the enemy and their own flesh. Their death becomes an attraction. They become lulled into this, drawn into this real slowly. And in death, they see peace. They see a false view. It's horrific.
It is.
Because you kill yourself, and it's like I was looking at that picture today, and, you know, picture Anthony Bourdain, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, you know, that's not you, fella. You're not around. I mean, we have a lot of things. You know, Robin Williams is gone now. And Jim Carrey, I can tell you, if this guy don't straighten up, he's going to be next because he's crazy. Jim Carrey has gone over the end.
That's sad.
As far as I'm concerned, you know, I don't care what he does, but, you know, his stuff just is stuff that turns me off. I'm not interested at all. But, you know, when you get that attack by the enemy, you know, every thought you get is from the enemy. And you cannot distinguish. And there's times you don't even know the difference between your own thoughts and the thoughts of the enemy. And once they get you going down that road, it's really hard to come back.
That's true.
And that's why a lot of them, once they start going down that road and listening to the wrong thing, instead of, you know, and Scripture tells us to bring every thought into captivity.
That's right.
You know, anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, we're to cast down. We're to grab the thought, we're to capture it, and cast it down in Jesus' name. You see?
Yeah, that's right. That's one of my favorite verses. You need to line up your thoughts with the Word of God. And it's a struggle, I know. I know. I've struggled.
And so you...
I still have struggles sometimes.
Well, you know, everybody is going to have a struggle.
Yeah.
You know, you get tired, you get this or you get that, you know. You do face those. But see, this is different. See, you go into a long, drawn-out thing where you're physically tired, you're mentally exhausted, and you don't, and they said of Bourdain, he didn't show a lot of that. He would pour himself out and go back to his room and stay there. And of course, you know, he liked to drink, so who knows what else he was doing there. And if he would have had, you know, one drink too many or something, or took a drug, you know, that could have influenced him. But, you know, I think they did come back with a report that said there wasn't any drugs in his system at all, which was good.
Well, yeah, that is.
But a lot of people, they... you know, there is that point that they're so captured, they can't find their way out.
Sad.
Once you start going down that, unless you have someone around to really help you and you're willing to speak about it, you're going to die. You'll die.
Yeah.
You know, it's better off to actually, you know, go down and, you know, instead of killing yourself, you know, take a chance. Go find a church.
Yeah.
You know, go find a preacher that knows how to cast that demon out.
Yeah, amen.
Of course, you may be hard-pressed to find somebody like that, but...
Well, I'm sure they're around.
You know,
somewhere.
Either that, or you can go down to the rough end of town, and when they're having a gunfight among the gangs, you can step in the middle of it, and they can shoot you. You know, or you can speed real fast, and the cop pulls you over, and you challenge him and let him shoot you. That's suicide by cop. That's well known.
Yeah.
People actually do that.
Unfortunately.
You know, there's people when the cops are called to a place, and this happened not too long ago. It was online, and a guy was living with his girlfriend, and they had two kids there. And I don't know if he had any of them or not, but there was two kids there. He killed the kids.
Oh.
The woman was gone. The cop showed up. He challenged the cop. He wanted to die. At any rate, he did end up dying. Getting killed.
Oh, that's tragic.
But she had called the cops on him. You know, she had to go to work or, you know. But the devil's busy.
Yes, he is.
And, you know, the thing of it is that, you know, if people would live submitted to Christ... Now, it doesn't mean you're not going to have struggles, but you have a higher percentage chance of getting through this life in victory. Now, today we're going to talk a little bit about a lot of this stuff because this is exactly what Paul is talking about, going on to perfection. The idea is, you know, you're not perfect now. You're not going to be perfect. You're going to go through trial, tribulation. You're going to fight thoughts. You're going to... You know, have trouble. And the only victory is in Christ. Christ in John 15 said, without me, you can do nothing. That's the hint. Without me, you can do nothing. And the devil knows that. And Bourdain didn't have Christ. You know, and a lot of these others, they don't have Christ. And that's open season. The devil knows him. He can take him anytime. And if you don't think the devil can, he can. He could take anybody right now if he really wanted to.
That's right.
And the only rule is the one that God has when it's people's time. He's the one that that chooses. But, you know, the devil, I've always said, if the devil and his minions, you know, really had a carte blanche from the Lord... they would have killed everybody already.
Yeah, that's true.
There wouldn't have been anybody around for Calvary because he would have killed everybody. And that's just what he would do.
He didn't get away with it.
No, he can't. He can't just go around killing everybody, but he can tempt you. And once you start going down the path of his dominion, you know, you're pretty much, it's like going into the forbidden forest. You know, your folks tell you never go in there.
Yeah.
You know, a good example of this is Hansel and Gretel. You know, they went in a little bit too deep. Well, they got away from the witch. But, you know, you never know what's behind in that forbidden zone. You're not to go down there. You know, you shouldn't be going into these places. Just like you shouldn't be reading the stuff. You shouldn't be watching the movies. You shouldn't be doing a lot of things that you're doing. Because that's going into the devil's territory.
That's right.
You ain't going to find those books. You ain't going to find those movies. You ain't going to find anything like that in our house, our home, period.
That's right.
You're not going to find books on other gods. You're not going to find nothing. You're going to find the Lord. And it depends on whose property. Now, you know, I was listening to one movie, one thing, and I sent you the link today. And it was a rendition by the Righteous Brothers, one of their hits, Unchained Melody. And it is probably one of the most beautiful songs there is, a natural, beautiful song. And the Righteous Brothers were really, really good anyway, but... you know, it talks about the love between a man and a woman, and but it's the melody, the music.
Yeah.
That you could just play the music. I used to have just the harmony and the melody music, it's just a fabulous tune. I see so much of this in life. Today I've seen, you know, I've been looking at some of the winners of some of these funky, where you go audition.
Yeah,
you know?
America's.
Well, they've got a lot of different ones now. They got all kinds of them. But, you know, and I've seen several of them involving real young kids.
Oh, that disturbs me.
11 and 13 and 16.
Yeah.
And their voices are just like,
amazing.
Yeah, it's beyond amazing. I just absolutely, I saw one of a young girl that was 11, and she sounded like Janis Joplin. And you would have never known it because she was a little shy.
Mm-hmm.
And then she started out kind of a funky dance move. But she was imitating Janis Joplin. Nobody knew it until she opened her mouth. And then she became possessed. I mean, that girl did all the moves that Janis Joplin did, moved her head. She sounded, her voice just boomed through the auditorium. Now, I'm not a Janis Joplin fan, but Janis Joplin was talented, but she committed suicide. No, she died of drugs.
Yeah, I believe that's true, drugs.
Yeah. And so... You know, and so when I see these young kids, you know, Tower and I both, you know, we worry about them because we know what this system will do.
Yes.
Yeah, you'll get rich and famous, but it'll eat you up and spit you out.
Suck you in and...
It'll suck your soul dry and you won't know right from wrong by the time it's done with you.
Yeah, that's tragic.
And unless you're protected. I just... shake my head when I see this.
Oh, I know. Me too.
You know, because that's success in the eyes of the world.
Yep.
You know, when I was growing up, and we're going a little long, but that's okay. I went to school with this guy by the name of Mitch. And... he was a musician, and I was a musician. That's how we got to know each other. And he used to like aquariums and stuff like that, and so did I. I went over to his house, and he was a happy kid. He lived with his mother. I don't remember ever seeing his dad, but they lived kind of in the country. And they had, I don't know how many acres around the house, but they had a little cabin. It was just a cabin. It was looked like a log cabin, and that's what they lived in. And, you know, the thing of it is that we don't understand that success has nothing to do with money.
That's right.
You know, you can be a success and live in a tent. If you're happy, contented, and say like you're married, you know, whatever it is. You know, what I'm saying is, I'm not telling you go live in a tent, but I'm telling you that success, you know...
it's not about worldly gain.
Yeah, it's, you know, well, I've been married, you know, so many years, and you love one another, that's success. You know, success... You know, but we have to look at it, and we're not satisfied. We teach our kids not to be satisfied.
Yeah, how tragic is that?
Yeah, well, at any rate, we got to do this.
Okay, well, I'll see you on the other side.
Okay.
Okay.
Hebrews. Chapter 6 and verse 1. Hebrews has been covering a lot of stuff. And when we look at Hebrews, we think, you know, that he did send it to the Hebrews. That doesn't mean there weren't any Gentiles that were reading it. But there were definitely Hebrews that were in the church. But whether you're a Hebrew and saved or not, or whether you're a Gentile, the main thing here, verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and the faith towards God. Now see, the doctrine of Christ, one of the first things is redemption. And we have problems with that here in, you know, the modern world. And so he's leaving the basic doctrine of Christ because the people he's talking about should already know about that. He wants to cover other things. He doesn't want to lay again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Now see, if you were ever in a church and you did a sermon on you need to repent from your dead works, and you need to have faith toward God and believe. See, these are, you know, these three, the doctrine of Christ, dead works, and faith. Those are what he's leaving behind. But see, folks, today we've left those behind. And, you know, we get to the point where we, you know, we're not saved by works, we're saved by faith. And I've talked about this before, and we're not going to beat it to death. But the bottom line of it is you need to repent from your dead works. And you need to have faith. And you need to be able to understand the principles of the doctrine of Christ. And of course, he goes on to say, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, of eternal judgment, this we will do if God permit. And see, these are the doctrines that he's talking about. Whenever you talk about the early church, whenever you talk about what did they believe, the doctrine of Christ, dead works, faith, and works comes in there as you're growing. Baptism, and it's more than one baptisms, because you have the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and then you have the baptism in water. Laying on of hands was another doctrine. The resurrection of the dead, that is the great white throne judgment, where the dead are going to be resurrected, and then they're going to go eternal judgment. That's the great white throne judgment. So these are actual doctrines. Now this isn't all of them, but these are the main ones that he is talking about here, that he is listing. I like this list a lot, because many times we look around and well, what are the doctrines of Christ? What are the doctrines of the early church? And he lists some of these things. Now, he doesn't go into detail in them, but they give you a little heads up, as there was and there is, you know, biblical apostolic doctrines that were laid down by the apostles. And this is important. Because this is where you want to be tuned into. making sure that you correspond with what was taught by the apostles. He goes on then in verse 4, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened." Now I find this interesting, because, you know, he says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection." See, he's telling believers, he just got done covering the doctrine of Christ. They had been taught that. They had been taught the foundation of repentance and how you get away from dead works and have faith towards God. This is, if you're not saved, your works are dead. But once you come into the Lord and you become born again, your works then are not dead. They're alive through Christ. And then the Lord helps you to be even more fruitful. So he's taking these people from this. And then he goes on to say, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened." Now see, he just got done talking about the doctrines. And then he says, "For it's impossible for those who were once enlightened." Were there people that he knew of that had fallen away? More than likely. And what he's saying is once you come into Christ and you know all about him and you've been truly born again, I mean truly, not just a religious experience in a church where you're a member. That is not being born again. You're not born again by becoming a member in a church. You don't become born again just by having someone sprinkle water on you. You must be born again through the Spirit, John chapter 3. You must receive the Lord in John chapter 1. You need to confess your sins as Paul lines out in Romans 3 through 7. You know, these are the things that have to happen. But once you have truly known the Lord, and then you turn away, and he goes on further and says, "Have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost." Now see, this is once you become born again. And the terminology, you're redeemed, you're saved, you're justified. You've accepted the Lord, you've received the Lord, whatever phrase you want to use. And the Spirit of God comes in. But then there is an anointing on top of that called the infilling of the Holy Ghost. This is a further power and anointing that comes on the believers. It did at the day of Pentecost. But he says, if you've tasted of the heavenly gift, because the Lord spoke of the gift of the Holy Ghost. And once you partake of that heavenly gift, and he goes on to say, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to the Son of God afresh and put him to open shame. He says it's impossible that once you have dipped your toe into the heavenlies, and if you fall away, to try to bring you back again to repentance is impossible. Now, I know a lot of people, when we deal with this issue, we talk about backsliding. Israel backslid. Christians backslide. You know, and it's entirely possible to backslide and still not fully fall away. You're still in that corrective point. And that's really what will happen first before you ever do fall away. God will correct you as a father does a son. That will happen. And he will send things your way to wake you up. And I want to give you a heads up here, because God is able to make you listen. Now, you also are able to stubbornly refuse. But God can make your life miserable. He can. Partly because of the Spirit of God, and because of the conviction, and because of your own moral code, if you've got a conscience. If your conscience is seared, you know, you ain't going to hear. And so while we're talking about doctrines, he stops here, talking about if you were once enlightened and really, really knew the Lord, and you got into the Word of God, and it just revolutionized you and just blessed you, and you knew about it and you could see into the future. I mean, literally, you knew the world to come, and Christ was going to be in charge of it. And then all of a sudden, you see him again, and they're totally fallen away. Now, many years ago, I can't remember the guy's name, but he went to minister in the Tenderloin District in New Orleans. And he was a preacher on the street, did really good for a long time. Then he fell away. Totally fell away. Well, you know, you can see these fellas in the bar. You wouldn't know that they're a preacher. But under the influence of a couple of beers, you can stand up and preach what you used to preach to a bunch of heathen, and they all laugh and slap you on the back, and you curse God and go back to drinking. There is a falling away, and it's like a dog returning to his vomit. Now, you see, when you see a nation like America, who has a Christian beginning, believe it. Now, there were others there that had other ideas, but there were Christians in the beginning. We've had massive revivals. We've had huge churches. Some of our biggest institutions, our colleges, used to be Christian in orientation. Now, today, that's all gone. Today, we deny any Christian Judeo relationship at all to this country in many quarters of this state, this nation. We do things before God in this nation. We've openly made laws to make it okay. We accept it openly. Some of the things we do here continually is totally immoral. And yet we look upon ourselves as a moral people. Now see, that's falling away. And it's impossible to bring people back once they've done that. Now, see, you can have a generation that's fallen away, and once they die off, the other generation, it's possible to reach them. That's exactly what happened with Israel. When Moses sent the 12 spies out, two came back with a good report, Caleb and Joshua. And, of course, the others didn't. And as a result of this big fiasco, that generation of adults were sentenced to wander for 40 years in the wilderness until they all died. And then God said, I will take your children into the promised land, which is exactly what they did. And they became an army. They were staunch for God. Now, see, that can happen. But if you are training generations of American children to be just as whoredish, immoral, and godless as you are, which is what they're doing in many quarters, then you have kids right from the get-go who have lost their innocency, and they don't even know it, and they're serving another god that they don't even know, and they're doing things that are totally evil. This is what's been going on in our American schools for a long time, and in this country. So, while we're talking about this, this isn't necessarily just Christians. Just Paul talking to some Hebrews. You can really apply this in this particular instance. Nevertheless, the big sad thing is once you've tasted forgiveness and you've tasted the power of God and the heavenlies and the blessing, and if you're a Christian and you've never had that experience, then I wonder about your salvation, whether you were really redeemed. And, you know, the thing of it is, you need to get in with God because there is more. And see, and if you look at this, look at the words he used to describe how you were. Enlightened, heavenly gift, tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come. So they've tasted the good word of God, they've tasted the powers of the world to come, which is Christ and the Holy Spirit. And see, these are the descriptors. Enlightened, have tasted of the heavenly gift, were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, have tasted the good word of God, have tasted the powers of the world to come. Now that is what your experience should be. But he says, if they shall fall away, and people do, to renew them again into repentance is impossible. He says, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now see, that's why it's impossible. Verse 4 says it's impossible. He says it's impossible. So he goes on in verse 6 of that to tell you why. Because when you fall away, you have crucified the Son of God afresh all over again. And you put him to an open shame because you said you were a Christian. You were supposed to be walking in him, and instead you did all these other shameful things. And you don't crucify him once. He was crucified once for all, forever. So here we have this right in the middle, pretty much, in Hebrews, a warning about those who were enlightened not to fall away because it's impossible to bring you back. Which answers the question. You know, you can backslide. There's backsliders that have come back. But there are those who have gone beyond the backsliding. And as we say, there is a point of no return here. God will endure with you a long while. And after a while, it's just like the children of Israel. God swear in his wrath that they would not enter into his rest because of their unbelief. And that was the children of Israel. There was a bunch of them that way because of their unbelief and not pleasing God, you know. So there is that arena. And that's why it's dangerous for you to be messing around with this. Now, there are those I've read about who were Christians who ended up becoming Muslim. Now, see, if you're just used to a religion and you've never been born again, there is a spirit of religion that'll make you happy. It'll never get you to heaven, but it'll get you religion. And there is that point that many people use to cauterize your conscience, to manipulate your understanding of redemption, and lead you into perdition. That's one of the works of the devil. Now, in verse 7 of that, he says, for the earth, which drinketh in the rain that come oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. And that's true. I call this not just the blessing, but the providence of God. That, you know, there's seed time and harvest clear till the end of the world. God has declared that. There's going to be a tribulation, but there is going to be a lot of things continuing. Now, some of that will be in upheaval because of the end of days. And I did Isaiah 24, Isaiah's Apocalypse, last Friday. And that is a good one to listen to understand Isaiah 24, because he talks about the earth and what some of the signs are of the earth during this time. Now, Paul goes on to say, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Now, he put that in there because he talks about the blessing and he talks about cursing. See, there's those which bear thorns and briars, and those who bring forth the blessing from God as a believer. They drink in the rain, and the rain here, the water, is typifies of the Holy Ghost that's in your life. For out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And so that represents the life. And when we see the earth and drinking in the rain, the blessing there, that's typed out just like in a Christian's life. You have the Spirit of God. Out of your belly will flow those rivers of living water. There's a blessing from God, and you produce not thorns, but that which is blessed. Because those thorns, those who bear the thorns and the briars, will be burned. Matter of fact, you can read John 15, and in it the Lord talks about, you know, how you need to be connected to Him. I'm the vine, you are the branches. But see, the Father is the husbandman. He will take those branches that are not fruitful, and He will prune them and go burn them. Now, you see, it's important for you to understand these things. Now, while we are not under the law like the children of Israel, we are in an arena of grace and in discipleship and a place where the Lord expects us to walk in the light as He is in the light. 1 John chapter 1. And that's where you need to be. Because when you walk in the light as He is in the light, you have fellowship one with another, because you're doing what He's doing. You have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you continually of all sin. And then if you sin, in that context it says that, God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. There's a place for you as a Christian to walk, and it's not in harlotry. And for all of those pastors in America, and those prophets and those apostles that are teaching heresy, and you're telling your people that they can go out and do some of the things that they can do, and you can tell people that are doing things that are totally opposite to what the Bible says they should be doing, Scripture and the Lord would say they're doing, when they cross over, they're going to be in perdition. They're not going to be in blessing because of you. And it's well known that in the children of Israel, it was their leaders that led them down the path of perdition every time. Do not allow this world and this society to convince you that you can do things that you shouldn't be doing. Because I can guarantee you the judgment of God on your head Absolutely. Now, you see, most people don't like this kind of teaching. Christianity today, they don't like that. Some of them do. Some of them are on fire. And it all goes back to what Paul says. To some, he says, we are an aroma of life. The message and everything that they do. Paul and the apostles. He said, to others, we are an aroma of death. Why? Because they don't believe. Because they know that they're not right. See, there's life and there's death. And God gives you the choice. And you're not going to move on to perfection if you choose the wrong thing. But see, this is where Paul says, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Now see, he's just been warning them about the dangers. But he says, we're persuaded better things of you. In other words, we know that you're not going to follow that. We're persuaded that you're going to do the right thing. Now see, he goes into verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Now see, there's the works right there. And we desire that every one of you to show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Diligence. And that's to the full assurance of the hope unto the end. See, we hope when we get to the end. See, the race is not a little ways. The race is all the way through. You're not through if you kill yourself. You're not through, you know. You got to make the race. You got to walk as his disciple. And you've just got to be faithful every day and look to him. Day after day, you got to pick them up and put them down and hope to the end that when Christ comes, your hope, that hope will purify your soul. It's the thing that'll burn you and keep you going, that hope, believing in Christ. And he says that you be not slothful, but followers of them who faith and patience inherit the promises. Now see, that's the hope. See, we believe in the Word of God. Now that's the blessed Word of God. And the Spirit of God makes all those things come alive in us and makes them alive in us. But see, we, just like the saints before us in the Old Testament, we have to have faith. And you always have to have patience. I can guarantee you, with your faith, you will always have to have patience. And you're going to have patience to inherit the promises when we get to the end. You know, that's just the way it is. I mean, and God will teach you patience. You know, many years ago when I started out doing this, I didn't know how to do websites. And I ran into all kinds of trouble. Dear God in heaven. Thousands of lines of code. One little thing out and you can mess it all up. Oh, talk about a mess. But I learned over the years. And when our websites would get hacked or there was a problem with them and I didn't know how to do, I would pray and ask the Lord, and I would just keep at it. And eventually the Lord gave me the answer. He would lead me to the answer. It would have been wonderful if he would have just sent an angel down that was a webmaster and said, I want you to go down to the watchman's house. He's had another website problem. Tell him real quickly what he needs to do. It don't work that way, folks. God is going to teach you. And remember, the children of Israel, God gave them wisdom and understanding and knowledge, along with giving the law. God is able to give you natural wisdom and knowledge and understanding into things. But see, God has also given you a constitution, that is your body and your mind and your spirit, to be able to work diligently and figure it out and see how it works. And through the years, God showed me, number one, patience. And I wish I could say I had all the patience in the world. I don't. And then there's times you're tired, times you're worn out. It takes a lot. There's a cost. And I can tell you, Christian, that any group of Christians that are being persecuted overseas, it ain't easy. And being in faith and knowing the Lord in America isn't easy either. Even though you have a job, you have everything that you think you need, you have a doctor, you have insurance, you have a nice car, you have a nice house, you have everything, yada, yada, yada. If you're a believer, there is still going to be things there that God is going to use to temper you, to harden you like steel, to make you sharp and have that faith of yours so it'll bear the fire. And part of that will be patience. Here is the faith and patience of the saints. Here are these that keep the commandments of God and the faith and testimony of Jesus Christ. That comes out of Revelation. You cannot separate faith from patience. And you can't tell God, I want a quick answer. It just don't work that way. Now see, it says, now Paul's going through that. He says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. And we do. We do say or refer to things. When we do references, when we write, we always try to find a quote from somebody. When I'm writing, many times I'll find a patriarch quote. I'll find a quote from one of our forefathers, like George Washington. You do that because that gives what you're writing substance. And so God is God. But God wanted to make sure Abraham understood something, that I'm God, he said. And I'm going to bless you. So he says, surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. He didn't say, I'm going to bless you and multiply you. He said, surely blessing, and then he fills in the whole thing. I will bless thee. And multiplying, I will multiply thee. See, this is the substance of what God said. I mean, he's God. He doesn't have to say that, but God felt he needed to, because he was making a promise to Abraham. There was nobody greater than God. Abraham might even have been okay with God saying that he would bless him and multiply him. But see, he says, surely blessing? What I mean is, I'm going to multiply thee. I'm not just going to bless you a little. I'm going to bless you. I'm not just going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I'm not just going to multiply you. I am going to multiply. I mean, really, multiplication here, Abraham. And he goes even further than that. He tells him, like the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky. I mean, he's God for crying out loud. I mean, has God made a promise like that to you? Sure he has. He sent his son for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him would not perish but have eternal life. John chapter 1. He went to his own and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. He spoke to Nicodemus. You must be born again by the Spirit. God has laid everything on the line for you today. And that's why it's so hard to come back. When all of a sudden you say, shove it, God. I don't want it. And you turn your back on that heavenly blessing and everything he is, and you go walking away. That's why Scripture records, if you love death, then you hate. Then go ahead and hate the Lord. Those that love death hate the Lord. And there are people out there, and they spend time hating the Lord. And so after he had patiently endured, Abraham, he obtained the promise. And we're no different. We have to patiently endure. I know that. Because it was told to me. In so many words. And it wasn't by man. I was told. For men verily swear by the greater, which we've already talked about, because it's always good, you know. You find another source, another reference. That's what we use in the writing world. References, sources. To back up what we're saying. See? Now see, when we pray in the name of the Lord to the Father. When we bind the enemy, we don't bind him in our names. I bind you in the name of the watchman. No, that don't work, folks. I'm sorry. You got to bind him in the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ. That's the way it works. And I can tell you, these minion that you don't see running around, but they're there. Your enemy, they don't like to be rebuked in Jesus' name, and they don't like you to bind them in Jesus' name. And that is why they ain't going to mess with you. If you will stand on that authority that God has given you through Christ, you can take care of a lot of issues. I bind you in Jesus' name. Authority. But see, if the enemy knows you real well and knows you haven't used it much and you're a little hesitant, he's going to stick around a while and have some fun with you until you can prove to him you mean it. See, it's like a story I tell all the time. And it has to do with a demon and a Christian believer. And there's someone over there that needs help, needs healing. And so the Christian says to the demon, you know, I rebuke you in Jesus' name and I bind you and cast you out. And he turns around and the demon's still standing there. He says, I told you. He says, well, I know you said it. He says, no, I believe it. I believe in the Lord. I know who he is. But you don't believe it. That's why I'm still here. If you're going to bind the enemy, if you're going to walk as a believer, then you have to believe. Isn't that funny? Believe. But see, we're so used to everything being right in front of us. I mean, every day we've got McDonald's over here. God forbid. I cannot believe the people that eat at McDonald's. You know, I heard from one of our relatives one time, I forgot what they had found out they were putting in the French fries. Well, I remember the red stuff they were putting in the meat. Only God knows what they're putting in now. But it's not just McDonald's. See, this is what we do. I mean, we run up and get an instant whatever. See, and we want God like that. We want all the angels like that. We want, Tom, Dick, and Harry angels right there, you know, saluting you as you go. You know, well, I'll go start your car, you know. I'll go get you stuff at the store. Oh, you're a little behind. Well, I'll go do this. So we use them like we use a store, you know. Admit it, you're in America. That's what we do. We pray, I'll take 2 house payments. I'll take a car payment. Let's see, what else? Oh, yeah, and I would like 1 TV, and I want 1 small PC. I need it for the ministry, okay? So, I mean, this is what we do. What are your prayers praying? What are you praying in your prayers? Binding, praying for the brethren in jail, praying for their deliverance. I know we get caught up in life. But see, you're in a race. Now, Paul, I mean, he goes on to verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. And I like this, that by 2 immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay a hold of the hope set before us. Now, he showed us, heirs of the promise, all of us, male, female, Gentile, or Jew, the unchangeableness of his counsel, that by 2 immutable things, one of them is, it was impossible for God to lie, and number 2, that God, well, God is not a man, that he would lie. And he had sent his son. Upon who we have hope. Who has set us free. And so as long as we keep that hope in Christ and understand that God is not a man that he should lie, it's impossible for him to lie. So he has given us 2 immutable things, unchangeable things, the redemption found in Christ and the hope Christ has laid before us, as well as the power we have to live above the sin and iniquity in this world. Now you get tired and you face troubles, yes, but God has made it to where you can live above the lusts in this present world. And so the hope through Christ is an anchor in your soul. And Paul says that in verse 19, sure and steadfast. And see, right now, you see, that hope is already entered into the veil where we're heading. Now see, that's faith. You see, in the eyes of God, we're not just down here walking around. He sees us completed and full. And you need to see yourself as being in Christ and going to be with him in heaven. And you need to send that hope as an anchor for your soul, which is sure and steadfast. And let it enter in by faith into the veil. into where Christ lives right now, where God is. That is your hope. See, the thing of it is, you can't serve two masters. You know, you're not going to serve the world and serve heaven. You can't do it. You're either going to love the one and despise the other. You know, that's the way it is. Your hope has to be centered in Christ. That's who you have to be found in. And let that hope anchor you into eternity and the future with Christ. Let that be your hope. Because if you're over here, even as an evangelist that's making millions of dollars, when you get old, your reward, where is it? Oh, this is a sticky wicket we make for ourselves. That's why Christ says how hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Because your hope is in your riches. Your hope is in this present life. Now see, that's exactly why people with riches lose hope and they end up killing themselves. Is because all they have is wrapped up in what they've created for themselves, and when they can't get through that for whatever reason, they end it thinking the other side's going to be better. Well, they haven't worked on that other side. They haven't gone to the one who could redeem them. You don't have hope on that other side unless you have Christ. And all this nonsense that, you know, and we see it all the time. People have dreams and they're seeing lights and it's wonderful and beautiful. Well, I got news for you. You get over there. It ain't going to be like that unless you know Christ. You're going to have a shock when you get over there. You have to have an anchor for that soul. That anchor is Christ. And when you die, that anchor will assure you instantly in the presence of the Lord. Anchor, faith, patience. And that's what's set before you. He says, whether the forerunner is for us entered. That's that veil. That's where Christ is, see? The veil is where Christ is. He says, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek is one of those that we look at as a high priest that had no beginning and end. And Christ is a high priest after that order. Because he didn't come out of men. Yes, he was born of a woman, but it was through the Holy Spirit. He was fully God, but fully man. He was God in man. He was incarnate. The Word incarnate, the Word made flesh. And he wasn't a high priest after the order of the Levites because the Levites come out of the loin of the flesh. That's how they set the temple service up, through the Levites. Because they were born a Levite. Christ was not born a Levite. He was born of a woman through the power of the Holy Ghost. He was God before he got there. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's where you're at. That's where you need to be. There is so much depth in this. Just think about it. Where are you at tonight? What are your goals? You know, you can raise your family. You can have goals. But you want to put the Lord in there in everything you do. And that, you know, I have dreams. Tower has dreams. There's certain things we would like to do yet. But we must keep preaching and teaching and reaching out. But you can have goals. And it's just like, I always use this. When we see people lose hope, when we see people like Bourdain and others who kill themselves, which is horrific, you know, all of it goes from day to day. When you get done with your day, go outside at night and look up at the heavens. And just say, thank you, Lord, for another day of grace. And praise Him and worship Him. Thank Him for the beautiful mountains. Thank Him for the sky. Thank Him for your breath. Do you think He's so far in heaven He doesn't hear you? Thank Him. Be ye thankful. Because that is the meat. That's the meat and potatoes of your relationship. Well, thank you, God, for $10 million in the bank. If you had $10 million, you need to give at least $7 million away. To the brethren, to the persecuted. Christian evangelists and all the others should be living in nominal houses. But I hear the old argument, well, you know, I'm a CEO of a major corporation and they all make millions and live in huge houses. That's just what I do. That's not an excuse. That's pathetic. And I've heard that. Now, I don't care what kind of house you live in. I don't, you know, that's up to you. But I'm just telling you, in this country, we need to downsize our churches. You know, the Assemblies of God began meeting in barns. That's right, barns. And that's where the power of God fell, was in a barn. I've been in a barn, folks. My grandpa had one. We used to milk the cows in it. And there's nothing in a barn that's really holy unless you're a cow and glad to be out of the weather. Well, the dairy cows we brought in got to eat grain while Grandpa milked them. See, maybe we need to take the church and get back into the barns and get back to fasting and praying and tarrying until the power of God falls, until that falls so hard that we repent of our God, you know, our godlessness and our carnality and everything else that is seethed into us, and repent of it and get it out and say, God, move in us again. This country is not going to change by easy peasy, soft-spoken, backslidden churches. It ain't ever going to happen. And you can carry on your little two-bit crusades that some of you are doing, and you can say everybody's getting saved. Well, when I look around in this country, And I've been doing it for 20 years. And I'm just going to tell you, I was raised in the age of Billy Graham, and he preached to everybody there was, and he preached redemption, salvation, come to the Lord. I was in the time of David Wilkerson and a lot of others who preached holiness and repentance. Did this nation change? No. You want to change something, you can do it only by the power of God. And that's it. So with that, Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Bless this word to those that hear it whenever they hear it. Feed them. Strengthen them. Forgive them. And bless them. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word in Jesus' name. Okay, Tower.
Okay, I'm back.
You are. Where'd you go?
Oh, that's a secret.
Well, we're glad you joined us, everybody.
Yeah, this is a good study, huh?
It is. Hebrews is good.
Yeah, I like it. He's the anchor of our soul. Keeps us well anchored from drifting afloat.
Yeah. Well, at any rate, enjoy your summer. Enjoy your June.
It's all half gone.
You know, I can't believe how fast time goes.
Oh, I know. Me either. It just zooms by. We say that all the time.
I do. Well, that's because it does. All the time.
All the time.
All the time. So those of you who hear us regularly on Spreaker, I got a notice that our mobile app wasn't continued because we didn't we decided not to renew it because apparently the credit card
was expired
or something, which happens. But I haven't really been happy with this one, and I probably will not renew that. I've gotten some other offers from others that are doing it that do more upgrades to them. See, once we bought the initial one, they never did any upgrades to it, updates. Almost everything in software gets updates. And I don't know of any updates. Maybe they did them, but I didn't see any. And there's a lot more, you know. Some of the others just do a lot more. They're a lot better. And so we're really looking at that. And, you know, we have a lot of people over on iHeartRadio that listen to us now. So I'm going to be looking at contacting iHeart to continue some more stuff there. But there's a lot of things we're looking at right now. We have a lot of people that listen from iHeart, from Spreaker, from our own websites. And this is really where we want to go with this, with a lot of these. And they're listening on smartphones. I was talking to a young lady the other day who told me she used it. Now, I would, for her sake, I may have to go ahead and make sure we get the app done so I can have the app there for her so she can listen. But it's just one of those things, folks. Pass this around. And if you want to join us in the ministry, check out our website. We have a lot of information on that. So we got to go. I can hear someone giggling.
Yeah. thank you for joining us, everybody. Have a wonderful evening and enjoy your Sabbath rest. And we'll see you next week.
We thank you for joining us today on Warn Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.